While all eyes in this country are on the intricacies of the race for the Republican presidential nomination, most Americans are probably unaware that French voters will be going to the polls in just 2 months for the first round of voting in their presidential election. Joining me now for a backstory update on the presidential campaign and all things French is Elaine Chelino. She's a Paris correspondent for the New York Times, was here recently to talk about her latest book, La Séduction, How the French Play the Game of Life. I'm very pleased to welcome her back to our show. And you brought me the French copy, which is La Séduction. Come on. Well, I'm not going to try that.
Come on, Leonard. It's going to get your French up to speed so the next time you come to Paris, you can seduce all of us.
The socialist candidate, talking about seduction, is François Hollande, the former life partner of Ségolène Royal, who was Sarkozy's opponent in 2007. Hollande has pulled ahead of Sarkozy in the polls in recent weeks. Is it because Sarkozy has declined in popularity or because Hollande is saying things that resonate with the voters?
Both. Sarkozy has plummeted in popularity. He's the least popular president in the history of the Fifth Republic since
what's he done? Is it because of the economic crisis?
Well, he's in a no-win situation. He ran in 2007 on a platform of work more to earn more. He promised the French prosperity, and he couldn't deliver for two reasons. One, the French economic system is stultified and paralyzed, and you can't overnight make reforms that aren't popular. And two, because of the global economic crisis and most recently the euro crisis. But more important than that is the French people hate him. He is just not a likable president.
He doesn't connect well?
He doesn't connect well. He doesn't look royal enough. I know that sounds sort of weird because France is a republic, but there has to be something elegant and that says leader, that says someone, that says daddy, that says we can trust you and we like you.
But he also has been at the forefront of the Eurozone's debt crisis negotiations with Angela Merkel of Germany. Doesn't that give him some stature?
It does. And what he's selling himself on is experience. He's saying, you pick the other guy, you get a guy who has no experience. He's never been a cabinet official. He's never run for a national elected office. You know exactly what you're getting with me.
He also, along with a nasty breakup with Ségolène Royal, the last candidate of the Socialist Party. Socialist Party sounds like it's had all sorts of problems. The likely candidate was going to be Dominique Strauss-Kahn for a while, wasn't it?
Oh, absolutely. And he probably would have been the candidate. But given the fact that there was this extraordinary investigation that's now blown up about whether or not Dominique Strauss-Kahn was involved in group sex parties that were paid for and arranged by a company in a fancy hotel in Lille, I think, and I thought this all along, that a few weeks before the election, all this stuff would have come out and that the French would not have had a fair fight. At least there is a fair contest now.
But the French have a reputation for being able to separate the personal and the public lives of their politicians. After all, François Mitterrand turned out to have had two families. The French really were shocked that Bill Clinton had so much trouble over some sexual escapade, as they probably saw it. So how is this different? It's because it's just so sleazy? Or have they changed?
They haven't really changed. Someone once told me that it's a question of scale. And I said, well, you mean like if a politician has five mistresses, it's okay, but 1,000 is not okay? Something happened when it came out that Dominique Strauss-Kahn might have been more than an occasional womanizer, that he might have been a predator and perhaps even a rapist. And that is crossing the line. Once you get into criminality, then the French are not stupid.
And then he comes up with some pretty lame excuses, like when there's a naked woman there, you don't know whether she's a prostitute or not.
Yes, exactly. That, you know, if I'm we have not heard these words coming out of his mouth. We heard these words coming out of his lawyer's mouth, and we heard it in a biography quotes attributed to him, saying that, you know, if there are a number of women naked in front of me in a group sex party, how do I know if they're prostitutes?
President Sarkozy has announced a few plans over the last year to cut back spending, but is raising taxes the only way that he really can address this debt problem?
It's pretty dire. There's no magic bullet, because the French are not willing to make the sacrifices that would be needed in order to cut social services. I mean, for example, if you retire at the age of 50, you most likely are going to get 3 years of unemployment. That the French are not willing to get rid of that. You know, in my office in Paris,
I'm moving to France.
You're moving to France. When I was bureau chief, if you work a certain number of hours over 35 hours, you get a free day off every month. You know, in addition to
we're seeing a similar problem in Greece, where people are unhappy about having to give up those kinds of perks. But those things worked quite well for a long time. Why have they suddenly become a problem?
No, because there's an economic crisis. You've got France. France is no longer just the French. The French economy is tied to the European economy, and that was the
compact. Eurozone has changed everything.
Well, it hasn't changed everything, but it's changed a lot.
What about the fact that Sarkozy is a conservative? Is there resistance among French conservatives to any kind of a rise in taxes in the same way that there is in this country?
Yes, there is, but he is going to be very, very careful. He's been much more careful than Hollande, who the other day just announced off the cuff when he was nervous on television the other night that he would tax anyone who made more than €1 million a year 75% of his or her income, which caused a huge ruckus, because all of the French soccer teams are now saying, oh my God, we're going to lose our soccer edge because all of our players are going to go elsewhere.
What about other high earners? Is it likely that they would leave France in order to escape a higher tax burden? And where would they go?
Geneva, Monaco. You know, Monaco's not a bad place. I mean, look at Johnny Halliday, the old aging rock star he lives outside of France now. Is Jean Dujardin going to not respond to the siren song of Hollywood if he's taxed 75% of his income?
Is this why Le Pen is predicted to do very well, the extreme right candidate?
I don't think we know anything about how Le Pen is going to do, because so far Marine Le Pen, who is the daughter of the man who went into the second round of the French election, you know, France has a two-round election. This was in 2002. She doesn't even have yet the 500 signatures from locally elected officials to be able to run. This is like a volatile situation, Leonard. We're in a weird moment.
Is she also hurt by the fact that her father recently again became a Holocaust denier?
No, she's not hurt.
Does that play poorly in France?
It plays poorly, very poorly in France, but she's been able to separate herself from her father. In fact, she spent so much time separating herself from her father that she may not have spent enough time on building her political base.
My guest is Elaine Chelino, who's the Paris correspondent for the New York Times. We're doing a backstory update on French politics. President Sarkozy remarked the other day that France has too many foreigners. Is that a way of shoring up his support from the right? Didn't he make his mark in 2007 when he was interior minister as someone who was tough on immigrants?
Yes, and I'm an immigrant, so I guess I'm one of those foreigners. I better start looking for – can you give me a job, Leonard? Because I think my husband and I are going to have to come back home.
Well, your husband is an American who works in a French firm. Does he run into problems as a result?
No, neither of us run into problems, but it's emblematic of a much –
Well, you're working for an American company.
Yes, but it's emblematic of a much, much larger issue, which is that he is playing to the right, and he is with the worst kind of xenophobia, saying that France has too many foreigners, it puts too much of a burden on housing, on schools. To me, it's hate politics.
Now, you said that he doesn't resonate well with the French. You wrote a book called La Seduction, which is all about how many French politicians and others appeal through a seductive approach. He just doesn't have that.
He doesn't. He doesn't like the crowds. I just was with him a few weeks ago. I went to Doremi, the birthplace of Joan of Arc, and I watched him in the crowds. He doesn't naturally grab the crowds. He doesn't want to do what Chirac did, which is to touch people and to get energy from the crowds. He doesn't understand that he's got to learn how to speak better. He speaks slang. You can't be the president of France and not be elegant. It sounds so bizarre, but that doesn't play well. And he still isn't forgiven for when he was elected president in 2007. The first thing he did was he went to a fancy restaurant instead of mingle with the masses on the Champs-Élysées.
But he also has been linked to some funding scandals. Members of his government have had problems. Are these all hurting him?
No, that doesn't hurt him. He's really clean himself, and except for trying to push his son into a job which he wasn't qualified for, he's pretty much not corrupt.
Does the fact that Carla Bruni, the actress model, is his wife, does that hurt or help? And did it help that she was in Woody Allen's Midnight in Paris?
I think it's a wash. The French aren't really in love with Carla Bruni. I mean, I went with her to Ouagadougou, and I have to tell you, she seduced me because she's got this great voice and great ability to talk in terms of the other. But she's tried to present herself as this sort of modest person in this modest family who likes popular television. But come on, she's an heiress, the daughter of a very important Italian industrialist. She made $1 gazillion as a supermodel. She can't possibly think that the French are going to believe suddenly she's a woman of the people.
What about the artist? It won an Oscar, many Oscars, as an American film. Do the French think of it as a French film?
Well, it is a French film, because even though it was distributed by the Americans, it was made in France by the French. But in English, that's right. But no, it's definitely a French film, even though there were French technicians and American technicians and American subtitles. It caused a great, great stir in France.
Are people proud?
Well, there's sort of a division. The consensus is, yes, this is absolutely wonderful. We needed this. This proves French greatness, the greatness of the French cinema, the fact that the Ministry of Culture subsidizes French films, and it's a national moment. On the other hand, you had people saying it's all because of the Americans that we wanted, American money. America's bought this award, and we should be very careful of American commercial venality.
Well, on the other hand, it did lose the Palme d'Or at last year's Cannes Film Festival to an American film, Terrence Malick's Tree of Life, right. Perhaps because that is so difficult to understand and hard to follow, it is something that the French would think is a work of art.
I don't know that the French think that the artist is a work of art. It's a conte de fées. It's a fairy tale.
Obviously, but there is a sense that French cinema ain't what it used to be. There are one or two great directors, Patrice Charot and André Téchiné, and then it's just you don't have all the glories that you used to have. Why is that?
Well, you don't have the glories in literature. When was the last time a French novelist really touched America?
Well, but Houellebecq does get some attention here. Yes. Is that because he just writes about sex all the time?
Maybe.
Well, I got to try that if I want to write a bestseller in France. Thank you, Elaine. Is there anything we've left out about France these days?
You've done pretty good. We've covered a lot of ground, as always. Leonard, where shall we eat next time you're in Paris?
Well, I'm sure you'll know the best places. You wrote a wonderful piece in a recent travel section about a restaurant that I have had a great meal at. So now it's going to get too crowded and impossible to get into. Elaine Chelino is the Paris correspondent for the New York Times, and she's given us a backstory update on the French political situation and a little bit of everything else. Thank you so much.
Thank you, as always.